more crying there. No more pain, no more hurt, no more bills. Can I get an amen? We're going to see the King. I love to say it. I'm going to say it again tonight just because I just love to imagine the moment. Because in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, He's coming for His church. Could it be that you would be in a church service possibly, have battled all the enemy had to throw at you, and you found yourself in the perfect will of God in His house, thinking, wow, took everything I had to get here. It's been a rough week. It's been a rough month. But you know what? The presence of God is here, and I'm just going to leap for joy a little bit. And you close your eyes, raise your hands, begin to leap for joy. And when you open your eyes, you're not standing on carpet anymore, but you're standing on streets of gold. Hey, you know what? That's going to be a day. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My. I cannot wait for the day that I'm able to look Him face to face. What a day. What a day that will be. Hallelujah. Well, I guess the time has come. Everything has gone by so quick. It seems like whenever I'm preaching that preliminaries just burn by. And so we are finally arrived. We are here. And I believe that the Lord has laid on my heart something that is directly from the throne of God. I believe it's something that the church needs to hear right now. And in prayer, for about the past 2 days, I've been praying about this message. I thought of a title first, which is normally how it comes to me, and then I have to develop off of that. And I've been working on it, and this morning I worked on it again, and it just came difficult, it seemed like, to get the meat of the message, I guess. But I knew the direction in which I wanted to go. So I'm standing here tonight getting ready to deliver what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart, and this is what the Lord has laid on my heart. But that's okay. We literally have 1, 2, 3, 4 scriptures. We're going to talk about what I believe is something that the world struggles with today. Growing up, I remember a time where I received this gift from my dad and my mom, and we were playing with it, me and my brother, and it was probably within like 10, 15 minutes, we just destroyed it. I took it to my dad and laid it down and began to play with something else, and my dad came up to me. He said, one day you're going to recognize and value things. When you've invested in it, you'll value it the more. As a kid, didn't really understand what he was talking about, but now I know. I go and buy my daughter a bicycle, and she leaves it out in the rain, and I see a little bit of rust on it the next day. I go and buy my son a fish tank, a little bitty fish tank, and he decides to carry it in the house and trips on the way in, and poosh. When you invest in something, you take care of it. Now, as a child, I didn't expect him to buy it, and as a child, we weren't expected to buy it. But now that we have invested, you're going to see where we're going here in just a minute. Now that we have invested, it's time for us to see the true importance of what we have purchased and what we have given ourselves to. If you have your Bibles, I want us to turn right now to Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. This is how it's going to be. I have done told myself there will not be preaching. There won't even be preaching. There's just going to be teaching. That's going to happen here tonight. So I'm going to slow my roll down a little bit. We're just going to talk. How about that? Sound good? Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. And when you're there, say amen. Check this out. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us hold fast, meaning, like it says, hold on to, don't let go. The profession of our faith, what we say we are. Without wavering. Everybody understand what that means? Let's break this stuff down. Without moving, without swaying, without bending, without breaking, without missing, without... You understand where we're going. For He is faithful. Has anybody in here ever been blessed of God? Has anybody in here ever been touched in such a way from heaven to where you knew without a shadow of a doubt that, hey, that had to be God? For He's faithful. He's faithful that promise. Next verse. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider the things that we have seen, the things that we have felt, the things that we have touched, the things that have moved us. Not forsaking the assembling. Everybody say assembling. I felt the need to talk about this on a Tuesday night. I understand not everybody's here, and I do understand there are a lot of people on vacation. I hope they have the greatest time of their life. But for those of us that are here, myself included, I want us to focus on this tonight. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Stop right there. Just keep it up right there. First of all, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Has anybody ever found yourself in a position to where you just, it was such just a rough day to where you could really, really use somebody saying, hey, you know what? I've been praying for you. I've been fasting for you. You was on my mind this morning when I woke up and I talked to God about you a little bit. And I don't know what you're going through, but I just want you to know you're going to be okay. Anybody ever had that happen? All right, let's ask this question. Has anybody ever wanted that to happen? Yeah, my hand's up first. It would have been great if someone would have came up and said, Brother Carson, you know what? I've been praying for you. I've been praying and believing God for you, and I just want you to know that I talk to God and everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be well. You know what? That doesn't happen, and we can't be around that type of atmosphere if we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You can't feel that encouragement of your brother. You can't feel that encouragement of your sister. You can't feel that encouragement of your neighbor whenever you're away from the house of God. It only happens when you're in the house of God. So before we go any further, this is what I want us to do. I want us to bow our heads all across this place right now. And we're going to pray that God speaks to each and every single one of us in this house here tonight. That He helps us to see the importance of what we are in the middle of right now. We're not just in a place where there's four walls and where there's nice stuff on the screen and where there's a message and we're going to be able to eat afterwards. No, we're in the house of God right now, and this is a place where things can happen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I'm asking you right now, Holy Ghost, Lord, to speak to your people, oh God. Speak to your church, dear Jesus. God, don't let this be like any other Tuesday. Don't let this be like any other service, oh God. But let this be a specific time, dear Lord, that you have called us as your people to your house, oh God, so you can speak to us, dear God. Lord, open our minds, open our ears, open our eyes, and open our hearts, dear God, to receive exactly what you have in store for us here tonight, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And everybody say, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. I remember when I was a child, and as a child, I don't know any other children really. My daughter, she's 5 years old. She's excited, super excited about going to school. You know, she goes to preschool, but she's not necessarily gone to public school yet because she hasn't started kindergarten. Now, my son, we go into the bedroom to wake him up early in the morning, and the first thing that we hear is, I don't want to go to school today. Can I miss another day? Is it okay if I miss another day? And we get them up. Why do we get them up? Why do we make them do it? Why do we make them go to school? Because they need an education. They need an education. I expect my son one day to drive down the road and be able to read a road sign so he doesn't run through the stop sign and get in a crash. I expect my son one day to earn such a good education that he's able to get a good job one day, to be able to support his family, to be able to purchase a house one day if the Lord tarries and doesn't come before that. I am praying he does, because there is no girl out there good enough for my son. Let me go ahead and lay that out there. I believe we all feel that way, but I remember as a child that I did not want to get up and go to school. It just didn't want to happen. No. I remember at an early age as well, though, being woke up early in the morning, Mom and Dad would come into the bedroom and they would say, hey, it's time to get ready. It's time. We get to go to church. We get to go to church. And they made it so exciting that even as a child, I was like, yeah, Sunday school. What do we got going on? What's Sister Brigham going to talk about today? And we would go there and she would have snacks for us and she would have an incredible lesson. And it was just an exciting time. But as I got older, I began to understand what my family was doing. I remember my dad would say this, we get to go to church. Not wake up, we got to go to church. Wake up, it's that time again. No, it was something that was exciting. And from an early age, I began to develop an excitement for the house of God. At a young age, I began to understand that, wow, all the days have come together for such a time as this, and we have arrived. It is Sunday now. We get to go to church. What's going to happen? I was in shock and awe every time we would come to the house of God, because I would see people come to the altar at an early age and I would see them blessed. I would see healings. I would see people filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd see people baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. And I always had this excitement about the house of God. And that excitement has lasted all the way till today and will continue to last all the way to eternity, because the house of God has become something that is so important to me. I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm getting close to preaching. I'm going to start teaching. The house of God has become something so important to me. I have been here before and stood on this platform sick as a dog and tried my absolute best to have a big old smile on my face and had people come up into the altar and say, "Brother Carson, can you pray for me? I'm suffering this." And they would name exactly what I'm going through. And I'm like, yeah, lay hands on them and God would heal them on the spot. And I'd say, "What? But an excitement in the house of God, because we never know what God is going to do in this place. Could it be that tonight, while you're sitting there listening to this lesson, that God is beginning to do something in your body, and you could be going through some type of sickness that nobody else knows about, and when you leave this house here today, you have a doctor's appointment maybe this week, and you find out that it's gone. Could it be that God is working on a family member right now, that while you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh my goodness, there is no greater place to be than the house of God, that God is seeing how much you honor the assembling of yourselves together, and he's saying, you know what? I'm going to get their children to come back to the house of God, because they see the importance of it. And if they see the importance of it, they'll share it with their children. There's something that happens when we recognize the importance of the assembling of ourselves together. Let's go to the book of Isaiah 59 and 19. Isaiah 59 and 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. What is that standard? What is it that's going to rise up in the midst of the flood? Exodus 2 and 3. If we'll jump to there real fast. Exodus 2 and 3. It says, and when she could no longer hide him. We're talking about Moses here, the mother of Moses. When she could no longer hide him because the soldiers had come and they were preparing to kill these children. When she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid him in the flags by the river brink. She built an ark. She built a safety net. She built something that she could place this child in that was protective. A basket. A basket that was waterproof, basically. An ark. She built it. She placed him in it. She laid him in the river, and it flowed to Pharaoh's house, where we know Pharaoh's daughter found him. We know the whole story. We know what God did with Moses. We know about the Exodus. We know about all the great things that accomplished and that happened because that mother had noticed the importance of the ark. My message title today is this, and this is what the Lord gave me, and I'm almost done already, but this is what God gave me to talk to the church about here tonight. How precious is your ark? How precious is your ark? We read just a few moments ago about how when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against it. There's a flood that is happening just outside these doors, out there in a world that is full of hurt, that is full of nastiness, that is full of sin, that is full of all manner of just nonsense that is happening right outside the doors of the church. But we have found ourselves in a place here today where we are in an ark.
where the enemy is surrounding us like a flood. As soon as we walk out of this place, we're going to go to places to eat. Maybe we're going to go home. Maybe we're going to go somewhere else, wherever the case may be. And you will be surrounded by a world that is simply out there to crush you and to devour you and to try to make you feel like you are nothing in this world. But you are something so greater than nothing. You are everything. Because when God created you, He didn't create a mistake. He created a chance and an opportunity for someone else to find the ark. So my question again is this: how precious is your ark? How precious, how important is your ark? I'm so glad that that basket, that little ark that Moses' mom made was important to her. I'm so glad that she didn't start to build it and start to teach and start to preach and then say, you know what? Nah, it's just not important today. I'm going to lay it aside. I haven't completed it, but maybe one day I'll get to it again. Maybe one day I'll start working again the way that God has intended me to work and the way that God has intended me to do. I'm just going to sit it aside for a little bit and I'm going to wait till a later day. And then all of a sudden, all the armies begin to march in and they kick open the door and then there's that little precious baby. What would have happened if mama would have said, hey, you know what? That's not important right now. Maybe one day it'll be important. And when it becomes important, that'll be the right time. Our time is not the right time. God's time is the right time. I'm talking today possibly as a youth pastor. Possibly something that I've been feeling from the very beginning of the year. I am feeling the importance and the push and the pull for people to recognize how important this ark is. Maybe it's made up of bulrushes. Maybe it's made up as what we're going to read about here in a few minutes of Noah's ark. Something that was a little bit hard to work with. Maybe it took a lot for you to get here. Maybe there's some pain. Maybe there's some hurt. But you know what? You have arrived and you have made it in the ark. Now when the floods begin to rise outside, I don't want to see you trying to swim out there in the water. I want to see you standing in the ark, understanding that I am in a safe place. I don't want to look out the windows of the ark and hear of a young person that's out there trying to tread water because they think that, hey, I can do this. I can swim. I can make it. I can talk to this person when I want to talk to them. I can date this person when I want to date them. Even though it's out of the will of God, I believe it's fine because I'm swimming pretty good right now. It's going to be okay. It's not okay because while you're trying to tread water, the people of God are floating above the flood. I know it's a Tuesday night, and I know it's a Bible study night, but I want us to understand how important is your ark. You say, well, it's 2018, Brother Carson. Yeah, it's 2018. But my God is the same today that He was yesterday, a year ago, 2,000 years ago, the same that He's going to be tomorrow. And this house right here is the very same house that is going to save you and your family and your children's children and their children and great, great, all the way years down the road. This house is going to be full of people that are looking for an ark because I know I have seen their faces. I have seen the ones out there that are so hurting and so hungry for something that is so much bigger than themselves and they don't know what to run to and they're simply waiting on someone to say, hey, you don't have to try to tread water in the flood anymore. You can come inside. The water is not in here. We're above the flood, and you can ride this all the way to heaven. Trust me. Let me talk as a youth pastor just for a second. I know that while we're in school, and I know that while we're a little bit older possibly, and we're on the job, and we're hanging around people, and we tend to think, hey, they're cool, they're fine, they don't want to know anything about God, they don't want to know anything about the church, they put a smile on their face, they got it together, I'm not going to talk about it because possibly it'll embarrass me. But you know what, those very same people that you look at that put a smile on their face and tell you everything's fine, when they go home and they're all by themselves, they find themselves tears flowing down their face because everything that they have given their life to and everything that they live for, they know that it is leaving a void in their soul and it's leaving a void in their heart and they don't know what to do. If you're waiting for someone that's lost to come to you and tell you to tell them about the Holy Ghost, honey, it's not going to happen because they don't know about the ark. But yet here tonight, we know about the ark because we are in the ark. I know about these people because I went to school with them. I went to school with a young man. I've told this story before. I went to school with a young man that was he was just the top dog, I guess you could say, when it came to high school. The football quarterback, I mean, he had it going on. Everybody wanted to be friends with him. Everybody wanted to know him. I went to him and I talked to him. I said, hey, buddy, you know what? You need to come check out the youth group. Youth group's really cool. We have a whole bunch of fun. We go whitewater after and there's awesome music. We got drums and we got a guitar. How about that? Come check it out. No, man, I'm cool. I don't need a church. I don't need to go to a youth group. I got this going on. I got this game going on. I got this party that I got to be to. And I said, oh, you know what? Okay, fine. But you know what? The option's open. That door is always open for you if you ever want to make your way there. All right, 2 more years happened. I found myself in my senior year standing in my classroom after our exams. And I looked at my teacher and I looked around. The teacher said, you know what? We got like 2 or 3 more days left. I don't have any more lessons for you. Y'all do whatever you want to do. Larry Phillips, he used to create our tracks. The coolest man that ever lived, passed away not too long ago because of cancer. Standing in his classroom, he called me up there. He said, Carson, I need to talk to you for a minute. Other classmates are out there just doing their thing. This is 2 days from graduation. He looked at me. He said, Carson, he said, I got a question for you. I said, yeah, Mr. Phillips, what you got? He said, I'm going through cancer right now. Not a lot of people know about it. Would you mind laying hands on me? I looked around immediately and began to look at the faces of those that I had gone to school with for 12 years. Begin to recall the status that I had worked on to try to be somebody important in the school and began to weigh in the balance, okay, how much is this going to affect my cool level versus my spirituality and what God has called me to be? And then I just, all of a sudden, something broke inside of me and I said, you know what, 2 days left, I got nothing to lose. I'm never going to see these people again. I said, absolutely, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I began to call upon God right there in that classroom. All of a sudden, the classroom got a little bit quiet and they looked over at Carson, who's calling on God. They already considered me the preacher boy, but that was fine. I was cool with that. After I got done, something welled up inside of me, and I said, oh my goodness, I have wasted 12 years. I had wasted 12 years, and I said, oh my goodness, Mr. Phillips, I got a question to ask you. I said, I got a Bible study chart that's in my car. Can I go get that real quick and just crack it open here in this room and begin to teach a home Bible study? He said, knock yourself out. He put his feet up on his desk. He said, you got 2 days left. I'm retiring here soon. I don't care what they say. They can fire me now. I don't care. I ran out to my car. When I got out to my car, I grabbed my Bible study chart, came back in, and I laid it on the table. I opened it up. I said, in the beginning. And we started reading through the Word of God, and I'm telling you right now, you could hear a pin drop in that room as those young people began to look at that Bible study chart and say, oh my goodness, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I'd never seen that before. Keep going, Carson. This is interesting. This is really cool. Keep talking. Yeah, maybe there was one or two that wasn't paying attention, but there was a lot more that were paying attention than weren't. Bobby, he wasn't in that room that day. Bobby didn't know what had been going on. A couple years passed after graduation, I found myself being called to the ministry a little bit harder. God began to pull me. God began to tug on me. And I came to the house of God one day, and Dad was in here doing his thing. He was praying. He was calling on God. And I came to him, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm getting ready to reveal something to him he doesn't even know. I made my way down the aisle of the old sanctuary, and I walked up to him. I said, Dad, I feel the call to the ministry. I feel the call to preach. He said, oh, that's incredible, son. Come here. Let me show you something. He walked me to the front. He said, you see that right there, that thing right here. Do you see that? I said, yes, sir, I see that. I thought, oh, my goodness, he's getting ready to tell me one day that'll be yours. I looked at it. I said, yes, sir, I see that. He said, that's mine. Go get your own. I kid you not. He said, that's mine. Go get your own. If you remember, I came to Lexington when you came to Lexington. And something began to stir inside of me. I began to think about what Pastor said. And what he was saying was this. It's not going to come just because you feel that it's yours. It's going to come because you have dug in the dirt and you have found what God has called you to be and you have created something out of nothing. He said, now go and start your ministry. I found myself going to Brother Morris. And when I reached Brother Morris, I said, Brother Morris, I don't know what else to do, but you got a jail ministry happening. I want to go with you. I went into the jails and I stood there on the bottom floor right below the cells. And I don't know if anybody in here has ever been to jail. Don't ever tell anybody if you haven't, but if you have, you know what I'm talking about. There's 2 levels. And I stood there with my Bible study chart thinking, oh my goodness, I've got a captive audience. You'll get that later. Cracked that Bible study chart open and I began to teach and I thought, oh my goodness, this is what God has called me to be. And I heard, I thought, what is this? I looked up on the 2nd level and there was a man that was behind the bars and he was acting like he had a rifle. And he was shooting at me the whole time I was teaching. And I thought, oh, okay, let's keep that man locked up. And it started from there, and I began to teach, I began to preach, and I began to work in the nursing home. And then I went from the nursing home to started talking with the young people, as Brother Scarborough would let me come in, and he'd let me talk every now and then to the young people. And I would try my best to develop a message that would last, you know, a whole 30 or 40 minutes. And then 5 minutes later, it was done, that type of message, you know. And I would teach the young people, and something just began to stir up inside of me. And I remembered at an early age how important the ark was. And every time I preached and every time I taught, I just told myself that if I can get anything across, I've got to get across how important the ark is. This isn't just carpet. This isn't just steps leading up to a platform. This isn't just padded seats. This isn't just four walls. This is a place where people have stood, lifted their hands to heaven, and cancer has fallen off. This is a place where moms and dads have brought their troubled children to the altar and said, God, I don't know what to do, but you know what to do. And God has reached in and turned their mind completely around, and now they're living for God. And not just living for God, but they're pursuing the things of God. That is what the ark can do. But when we get into a place in our mind to where we begin to look at the church and we consider it just a place that is made of walls and made of carpet and made of chairs, and it's just a place where we can show up on Easter, it's just a place where we can show up on occasion whenever we feel like it, then it doesn't become an ark, it becomes a hallway. But God is not a God of a hallway. You don't just walk through this. You go in and you stay in for safety. God is not a God of hallways. He's a God of a house. Genesis 6, 14 through 17, it says this. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. We'll tell you right there. Gopher wood. Has anybody ever looked up gopher wood? Probably not. You have, buddy? That's awesome. Gopher wood. It's one of the hardest materials to work with. Why would God do that? I mean, if I had to build a boat that big, I'd want something that was a little bit pliable, a little bit easy to fix, easy to cut, easy to work with. But no, God said, build thee an ark of gopher wood. Why? Because I want you to invest in this. And when you have given your blood, sweat, and tears, then you will see the value of it. You won't cut corners. You won't get that. You won't work hard here and then work harder here. You won't give up a little bit here and then give it everything you got over here. But each and every little part of it, you will invest everything that's within you, so that when you get done and you look at what you have created and what you have given your time to, you will say, wow, this is something that can save me. Next scripture. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Why so specific? Because God has an order in which He plans on His house to be prepared. God has an order in which He plans on for you to follow. And because if you step outside of the order, if you step outside of the directions, then a lot like IKEA products, you got things left over and you don't know where it's supposed to go. And before you get there, you sit down on it and it breaks. You say, well, I jump real fast here, and who needs directions? I don't need to follow directions. I built it. It looks good. Check that out. I'm convinced that IKEA products always give extra screws and bolts. But then just, a couple months down the line, you look at it, and it's a little bit wobbly. It's falling apart just a little bit. There's an order in which God plans for His people to follow, because when we follow the order, there's strength. When we follow the direction of God's Word, there's durability. When we follow the direction of God's Word, there's steadfastness. You know what I'm talking about? When we follow the direction of God's Word, Brother Mike, we're able to stand in the house of God when doctors say, hey, you know what? You might not be around much longer. And we're able to say, nope, not my God. My God has given me a promise. There's durability when you have built something that is built to last. I'm talking to people here in this house tonight because of it being a Tuesday night. I've already said that I know there's a lot of people on vacation. I hope they have a blast. I wish they were here, but we're here. You're here because you care about what has been built. You're here because you care about what you're investing in. You're here right now because you are a part of the crew that is going to find those that are hurting and lost and bring them to the ark. I'm talking to people here tonight that have invested time, that have invested money, that have invested finances, that have invested blood, sweat, and tears. I'm talking to people like Brother Bennett that have spent countless hours upon hours out there cutting the grass. I'm talking to people like just so many people in here that have passed out tracts beyond number. We couldn't begin to count the amount of flyers that have been passed out. I'm talking to people that have laid hands on people that were sick inside of stores, inside of other homes, inside of schools. I'm talking to those kind of people. That's what's here on a Tuesday night. And I want to say thank you before we go any further. Thank you so much for what you have invested in the house of God, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be in what we're in right now. Next scripture. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. Keep going. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. I guess if there was any point that the Lord would be trying to get across to his people here today, and this is what I have been feeling from the beginning of the year, it's simply this. You go ahead if you desire to try to walk out there in a world. You go ahead if you desire to try to take a little bit here of the world and invest a little bit here into the world. Maybe live a little bit of life in the world out here and then live a little bit of life in the church and think everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be fine. But in my Bible, I also read that later down the line when the flood hit, that God shut the door. Why would God shut the door of the ark? Because he knew that Moses couldn't do it. There's going to come a time when the people are going to be out there and there's going to be people in here, and God is going to shut the door of the ark, and that rapture is going to happen, and God's coming for his ark. And when the floods begin to rise, you're going to know of people that are going to be out there that are going to be dying, that are going to be trying to tread water in a world that's full of hurt and full of pain. But yet we are in the ark. We are in a safe place right now. Do you understand the importance of the ark? The ark wasn't built with a revolving door. That little basket for Moses, it wasn't built with the Lord telling her, you know what, whenever you desire, go for it. No, she felt the importance of it. It had to happen now. It has to start now. I've got to do this thing now. Why do I got to do this now? I don't know why, but there's an importance about it, and I got to give everything that I am to it. Why? I don't know, but we'll find out. I'm done. Moses, come here, baby. Come here. Here we go. Here we go. Take him outside. All right, put him in the river. We're back home. Boom! Is there a child in this house? No. What are you here to do? Well, if there's a child in this house, I'm here to kill it. No. There's not a child in this house. That soldier stepped outside of the home, and I'm sure that Moses' mother hit her knees, and she said, God, I understand now what was happening. I understand that when I felt that importance, that if I didn't give everything that I was to it at that exact moment, at that exact time, that my family would have been lost. I'm talking to people here tonight with all that is within me right now, that I know we have children, and I know that we have moms and dads that are still out there that are in this world, but there is a flood that is on the way, and they have got to know about the ark. I knew it would be quiet because it's a Tuesday night, but I'm trying right now with everything that's within me to reach into the hearts of somebody in this place, to the hearts of the people that are in this place right now. We are in a place that God has designed and preordained to rise above the flood, because when the enemy comes in like the flood, the Lord will raise up what? Say it like you believe it. The Lord will raise up what? He'll raise up a standard. We are the standard. We are in the standard. We are in something that has been invested. We are in something right now that wasn't built overnight. We are in something right now that didn't just happen because we wanted to be known as a big church in Lexington. We're in something right now where the pastor has spent countless hours laying on his face in this carpet, calling upon God, saying, God, I don't know where they are. I don't know where they've been, but Lord, bring them home before the flood hits. Bring them home, oh God, before the waters hit. I don't even know who they are, oh God. I don't know where they may be, dear Lord, but they're hurting, they're hungry, they're lost, they don't know, but we're in an ark, we're in a safe place. God, send them to the ark. And now I look out here and I see faces maybe that haven't even been with us for longer than a year. You're here because someone realized the importance of the ark. I'm reminded right now as I speak again as when I was a child. Mom and Dad running into the room. I could see it. When I close my eyes, I can see it. Carson and Cody, it's time to wake up. We get to go to church. What are you saying, Mom? What are you saying, Dad? I'm saying that I'm investing into you right now. I'm putting something inside of you that when you see the world and you rub elbows with it, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, no, there's a flood coming. I can't stay here long. I've got to get back to the ark. And it has been that way from then till now and to eternity. I've gone to school, young people. I know how it is to go to a public school. I know how it is to get invited to parties. I know how it is to have drugs right in front of your face with people saying, hey, try this out. It's fun. Hey, look at this. It's interesting. Hey, why don't you come to this? It'll be great. Hey, why don't you miss a youth service on a Friday night? We'll have a good time. Hey, why don't you just take a little bit of money out of that till right there that you're working in? You can go buy a meal and nobody ever know about it. No, no, no. No, no, no. There's a flood that's out here and it's getting around me. I don't like this. I got to get to the ark. When we recognize the importance of the ark, you don't want to leave. When you recognize the importance of the ark, you get here early. Because why? Because there's prayer that's happening upstairs. No, the preaching hasn't started. No, the music hasn't started. But the doors of the ark are already open, and I've got to be there. Why am I there so early? Because I'm standing outside saying, come on, open the doors. I got to get in. When you recognize the importance of the ark, nobody can peel you away from it. Nobody can hurt your feelings. Nobody... When you recognize the importance of the ark, when you see people that are here, when you see brothers and sisters, when you have children that are struggling, you look at them and you say, hey, you know what? I don't care what you think. You're under my roof. We're going to the ark. As simple as it may sound, that is what the Lord has laid on my heart for this church here tonight. And I just wonder if we can all stand right now. How precious is your ark? Ask yourself that question. How precious is your ark? I don't recall Noah having to holler out at his children, Brother Janssen, saying, hey, come inside, it's starting to rain. Come inside. I don't recall one time in the Word of God, except for the very beginning, where the Lord told him, he said, I want you and your family to enter into the ark. Noah said, you got it. Whatever you say. And when the rain began to pour, and where the Bible says that men and women began to mock Noah, he just kept hammering away. Say what you will. Say what you will. I told you. I told you. I preached it. I taught it. We sang about it. I told you there's waters coming. Now you can choose to do what you want to do, but my family, we're in the ark. Driving that nail, cutting that board, filling them holes. Just working away, working away. And then all of a sudden, he's looking at the last nail and he's like, what's going to happen now? I don't know. I don't know. But this is it. This is all that's left. And as that last nail was drove in, all of a sudden, a hand came from heaven. Fingers wrapped around the door. And it was closed. Children sitting on the inside. What's going on, Dad? What's happening, Dad? Don't worry about it.
You're in the ark. Don't worry about it. Daddy, why are people screaming outside? Why are people beating on the walls of the boat? What is that, Daddy? What is that? Don't worry about it, honey. Don't worry. Don't worry. You're in the ark. Daddy, why are they in pain out there? I'm looking out the window. Don't look out the window, honey. Don't look out the window. You don't need to see that. You don't need to. What's going on, Dad? Don't worry. You're in the ark. To Noah, if you asked him how precious is your ark, he would have said so precious that there was nothing that was going to turn my eyes away from what was going to be built. Young person, hear your youth pastor right now. How precious is your ark? How precious is your ark? Is it something that when your friends look at you and laugh at you, you're going to say, no, I don't have an ark. No, I don't do that kind of thing. No. Or is it going to say, yes, I do. I've got an ark. And while you're talking, I'm running to it. Is it so precious that when a young boy or a young girl comes your way and bats their eyes at you that's not in the house of God, that you're going to say, yeah, why not? Let's do this thing. Or are you going to say, no, I've got an ark. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong right now in this place. I feel it rippling on the bones right now. The Lord is saying, come on, somebody, recognize the importance of the ark. Can I get a little bit simpler here? My ark is so important to me, Brother Yance, that I find myself sometimes when I'm walking down the hallway of the church, I'm not even part of the cleaning crew, and I walk around the church, I see trash, I'm like, no, not in my ark. Not in my ark. One of the bathrooms, I see toilet paper rolls that need to be replaced. You know what? I do it. Why? Because it's my ark. How important, how precious is your ark? Cody, why are you singing that song right now, buddy? Because I believe that you are right where God wants you to be right now. I want someone to ask yourself, and God's going to be real with you right now. God's going to be real with you right now, because that's the kind of atmosphere that's here right now. You ask Him and you say, God, how important is the ark to me? He's going to let you know. But what He tells you, I want you to act upon it. You're in a safe place right now, but is it temporary? Again, I don't feel necessarily like I'm talking at people that are here right now. I feel like I'm talking to people that are out there in the world. But I'm feeling the challenge and the push right now to commission people to reaching. We've got to get them in the ark. We've got to get them in the ark. We've got to get them in the ark. Ask yourself right now, say, God, how important is my ark? And if it's important to you, I want you to step out. And as you step out, I want you to begin to see what you're walking on. You're walking on tears. You're walking on prayer. You're walking on healings. You're walking on scripture after scripture that has been preached. You're walking upon family members that have been praying. Come on, somebody. How important is your ark? Maybe it needs to get a little bit deeper in your heart. Maybe it needs to grow a little bit stronger in your soul. Go ahead and tell Him. Say, God, you know what? I recognize where I am right now. I recognize where I stand right now. I'm in the ark. Make me a house of prayer. Hallelujah.
Wow. I believe that the Lord has got across tonight exactly what His perfect plan was for tonight. And from the very beginning of the message, I have not felt a sense at all of preaching to. But can I say preaching for? You're here tonight because you understand the importance of the ark. You're here tonight because you understand just how precious this ark is. What I'm preaching for, what I preached for, I guess, tonight, are for the ones that we know that haven't quite yet recognized the importance of the ark. It's our duty, it's our responsibility, it's our job to find them and let them see. Let them know, let them sense how important it is to you. How do I do that, Brother Carson? I'll tell you how you do it. For example, I'm just going to give examples of things that I've gone through. Be hanging out with friends, having a great time. Saturday starts getting a little bit late. They say, hey, let's go get a bite to eat. Let's finish the night out strong and let's just talk and let's just have fun. I've got 30 minutes till prayer. I can't. I'm sorry. What? You have prayer every Saturday night. I'm sorry. That's my ark. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you after prayer. Hey, why don't you come to the game we got going on tonight? Nope, it's Friday night. It's Tuesday night. We got service happening tonight. Oh, you go there every single time? Yes, I do. Why? Because one day it's going to rain. That's how you let them see. By example. Noah let them know by example. Why he built, the family was inside. While we build, this is what I'm going to leave you with. While we build, let's keep our families inside. My, my, my. At closing, why don't we just lift our hands to heaven right now and just close our eyes. I want to pray a prayer of faith upon you. Mighty God, Lord, we thank you, dear Jesus, for what I believe has been hearing the word directly from your mouth, oh God. We thank you, Jesus, for the precious touch of the Holy Ghost that is in this place, for the challenge, for the urgency, oh God, that is in this place right now, dear Lord. God, I ask you, Jesus, that from the left to the right, from the front to the back, oh dear Lord, that you would cover this house like a blanket, dear Jesus. God, that you would strengthen, that you would encourage. God, that you would heal and that you would restore, that you would mend the broken, dear God, and lift the heavy-hearted, dear Jesus, right now, Lord. God, I believe it, dear Lord, in the wonderful and the powerful and the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. God bless you as you're dismissed.